Stranger. Without further ado, though, let's get into this message. And today, I wanted to talk about this very real problem in our society right now, and that is the absence of rest. Now, the title of the podcast, this episode, is called Finding Rest. But a lot of times in our lives, we are without rest. We find ourselves in turmoil. We find ourselves in pain, a lot of anxiety going around, a lot of disturbances of the mind. And I think in order to move forward, we actually need to first define what the word rest means. According to Merriam-Webster's, there's two key definitions. The first key definition of rest is to cease from action or motion and to refrain from labor or exertion. Now, that's actually not the definition we're going to be focusing on today. Because anybody can say, I'm tired, I'm going to go take a nap, get some rest for the body, so I can just rejuvenate a little bit. Okay, we all do that. That's not the rest I'm talking about. The rest I'm talking about is this definition right here, and that is to be free from anxiety or disturbance. And to me, if you ask me, anxiety and disturbance is turmoil of the soul and of the mind. So let me ask you a question. If you were to do a checkup from the neck up right now, and I asked you the question, are you weary? Do you ever find yourself tired? Or maybe just tired of doing things on your own strength? I think I can speak for most people that we can all get that way sometimes. The things of this world weigh on our shoulders, and we can get discouraged and even feel hopeless. No matter the weight, though, there is someone we can turn to in times of great trouble and distress. God has given us the ability to make the choice to seek His face and find rest. Again, that definition of rest is to be free from anxiety or disturbance. One of the biggest verses in the Bible, and I think is kind of a theme verse of this concept of rest, you'll find it in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. So if you got your Bibles, probably always handy-dandy to bring your Bible every time you listen to this show. Or if you're listening in the car, have a friend pull up your phone and read it to you. So Matthew chapter 11, we're going to start in verse 28. And it says, and I'm reading out of the New King James Version. It says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word come in this verse is the Greek word deute. Kind of interesting, it's spelled D-E-U-T-E. And it's an invitation that means come here. I invite you to come to me. So right off the bat, Jesus is saying, come to me. I'm inviting you in. I'm inviting you to come to me. This famous song out there that says, come dine with me, right? Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus joyfully invites us to come to him. He invites all those who work and are weary to come to him. Second key word in that verse of scripture is the word weary, and it's the Greek word kopiao, or kopao, spelled K-O-P-I-A-O, and that describes a person who is exhausted by continuous labor. Perhaps this person has many responsibilities and is trying to fulfill them at a high professional level. Or in order to accomplish so many things, they have to work hard constantly. But Jesus invites him to come to him. He invites not only those who work hard, but also those who are burdened. Now the word burdened, and you'll find this in the latter half of the verse where he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That word is the Greek word for tizo, A little bit of a funny word, HORTIDZO, which describes a person who bears a heavy load. This burden may be work, family, financial situation, personal problems, alcoholism, pornography, drug addictions, marital problems, infidelity, backbiting, gossip. The list really is endless here as far as the things that can bear, people who can bear a heavy load, examples of heavy loads. I want to turn our attention to Exodus 32 because I think this is a prime example of a heavy load or a heavy burden on the shoulders. And so let's flip the Bible to Exodus 32, pulling it up here on the iPad. And the context is this. Everybody knows the story of Moses and the 10 plagues. It's pretty popular. What's even crazier is what happens after that, right? They're in the wilderness. They were in the wilderness a total of 40 years. But Exodus 32 brings us to around the time of the Ten Commandments. And this is when Moses initially went up to Mount Sinai for the first go-round of the Ten Commandments. And, this is what happens when you are not at rest. And this is what happens when perhaps you are bearing a heavy load. We'll start in verse 1. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And Aaron said to them, which I find absolutely appalling, what he says next, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." Verse 3, "So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf." Now, what's interesting about this verse is pay attention to verse 4. When he says he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool, and he made a molded calf. Keep that in your mind for a second. Then they said, verse 4, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." So, they go from worshiping the God of Israel, the one true God, El Shaddai, Jehovah, Jehovah Rapha, to now worshiping the God of gold, a false god. And mind you, all the miracles that had been performed up until this point, right? You had the 10 plagues, Passover, the parting of the Red Sea, the destruction of the Egyptian army in the Red Sea, and still, they were stubborn, and they turned to false gods and idols. Pick it up in verse 5. "So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, 'Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord.'" And the Lord he's talking about is the false god, the god of gold. "Then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." And so imagine all the turmoil that's going on. And Moses is up on the mount, preparing the Ten Commandments. So he's not there. He's not down with the people yet. He's up on this mount, and God then just can't take it anymore. I wouldn't be able to either if I were God. And he started saying to Moses, we'll pick it up in verse 7. "The Lord said to Moses, 'Go get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people indeed. It is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. Now there's not too many instances in the Bible where God's wrath burns hot. Now God has wrath. He gets mad. He has emotions just like you and I. Okay? After all, we are made in his image. Just want to throw that out there. And so his wrath is burning hot. He wants to consume them. He wants to get rid of them. And Moses, verse 11, pleaded with the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt? With great power and with a mighty hand. Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants to whom you swore by your own self, and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people. And now we get to the juicy part, verse 15. And Moses turned and went down from the mountain, and the two tablets of the testimony were in his hand. The tablets were written on both sides, on the one side and on the other side they were written. Now the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. And Moses says, it is not the noise of the shout of victory, nor the noise of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear. And this is what Moses does when he gets down and he sees this god of gold, this false god that the people of Israel. Verse 19, so it was, as soon as he came near the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. So the Ten Commandments, he broke them, broke the tablets. Verse 20, then he took the calf which they had made, burned it in the fire and ground it to powder, and he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it. And Moses said to Aaron, his brother, what did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them? And you remember when I told you to keep that certain thought of your mind, that certain verse where Aaron was saying that he made the calf of gold that had risen out of the fire. He engraved it. He made it. Listen to what he says to Moses as Moses is very mad. So Aaron said, do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people that they are set on evil. For they said to me, make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And I said to them, whoever has any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and this calf came out. So Aaron is refuting responsibility, skirting responsibility for this endeavor. Which is kind of funny to me, because that's what we tend to do, right? If you think about it, we tend to make excuses. We tend to say it's not our fault, right? We don't like taking responsibility. As humans, we do not like taking responsibility. Let's jump to Exodus chapter 33. Moses is up on the mount, right? He goes up there, gets the Ten Commandments from God. He comes down, sees a false god that Aaron had made for the people of Israel, questions Aaron about it. He burns this false god in fire, burns it to powder. There are some consequences, and you can read later on in Exodus chapter 32 of what actually happens. They don't get off scot-free, but we're going to jump to Exodus chapter 33. And we'll pick it up in verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it. And I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite and the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. So God's still burning hot here. He's still a little bit miffed at the people of Israel. And when the people heard this bad news, verse 4, they mourned, and no one put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I could come up in your midst in one moment and consume you. Now, therefore, take off your ornaments, that I may know what to do to you. So the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by Mount Oreb. Still in chapter 33, verse 7. Moses took his tent, pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses till he had gone into the tabernacle. And let's jump down to verse 12. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And God says back to Moses, and I think this is the pinnacle of the record that we're getting at, and God says to him, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Wow, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Now, I can't imagine how Moses must have been feeling at this point. He goes up to the mount to do what God commanded, and he comes down from the mount, and I can only imagine the amount of turmoil, the amount of anger, the amount of disturbance and anxiety that Moses must have had in his soul. And after all, it was all said and done, and he was about to go up a second time, and God says to him, my presence will be with you, and I will give you rest. Now, you're probably asking yourself, Josh, how does that equate to my life? That's great for Moses, but what about me? Well, just like the children of Israel, we have tendencies to seek rest in other places, right? We go to the world for our rest. Perhaps we seek it in alcohol or drugs or pornography or any other form or vice that's out there, right? We all know what they are. And to be honest, we all have one. But God says, come to me, and I will give you rest. My presence will be with you, and I will give you rest. And, you know, the interesting thing about the Israelites is that in the Old Testament, they were servants of God. Now we're in the grace administration. Now we're children of God. We have sonship rights. And luckily for us, one of those rights is massive amounts of forgiveness. Now, that's not to say you can do whatever you want and not receive consequences for your actions. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that rest for your soul is more available than it was to the Israelites or the people of the Old Testament. And that whenever we do go off the beaten road, we can be assured that when we come back to God, we will always find rest for our souls.